In the Big Brother house, it's never easy to get a good deal, but that's not the case on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need, and you'll help support Rob Has a Podcast and all of the shows that we do whenever you start your shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisneros here. It's the morning after the Big Brother finale, and this is one of the biggest shows that we do traditionally every year, the final three interviews with the Big Brother finalists. So very excited to talk to the winner of Big Brother 17, Steve Moses. We'll also talk with Vanessa Rousseau, and of course, we'll speak with Liz Nolan as well here in this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. So I'm very excited to get into that. A lot of unanswered questions from last night's finale and this season. Of course, we did our big recap last night, late last night, because of Survivor, which we also did our Survivor first episode recap up on robhasawebsite.com. But I got together with Brent and Taryn and Alex one more time to talk about everything that happened in the finale and Steve's win and ultimately Vanessa's loss, which I think is just as big of a part of the story as Steve's win was, because she was such a dominant force throughout this season. So we're going to get to all that. So again, thanks everybody who listened to all of our shows. We've done so many Big Brother recaps over the season, so I really do appreciate your support throughout all of the season. And I'm really looking forward to, at some point, after a nice rest, getting all back into this with Big Brother 18 coming back next summer. And of course, we'll talk about Big Brother Canada 4 between now and then. So why don't we just get into it? Why don't we talk, get the winner here from Big Brother 17 on the line? Here he is. The man who people, including myself, didn't think he had it in him, but look, they were right and I was wrong. Here he is, the winner of Big Brother 17, Sweet Fancy Moses. It's Steve Moses.
Thank you, Rob.
Steve, I have to say, first off, I'm very happy for you and I'm very proud of you, but boy, I have to say, I did not think this was going to happen. I really thought this was Vanessa's game for a long time. Very happy for you, but what a run, what a ride.
I took it from her.
You did. You identified that she was the threat from your HOH letter a couple of weeks ago. You said she was the Derek. You knew she was the danger.
I know.
Yeah. Well, very good. Good job. Good job by you, Steve.
I mean, there's definitely a risk in having let her take her as long as I did, because it sounds like she wouldn't have taken me to final two if she had won, and she would have had my vote 1,000,000%.
Yeah. I know, Steve, I was screaming at the TV the night of that double eviction when you and Johnny Mack left Julia in the house, and I felt like you guys were giving the game to the Oss twins and Vanessa, and I did not think it was going to happen from that point on, but things really, the ball bounced your way really from that point on.
Well, what seems like apparently Meg and James were talking about offering me and Johnny Mack a Final Four deal. I don't know, but it's like what it came down to, I mean, I was obviously torn over that vote, but what it came down to was like Meg and James were trying to campaign against me over Johnny Mack the week before, and Julia was in my alliance. And when I was going to make that first stab at the three of them, it had to be at a time when you're getting out one of them who is a competitor, and Julia was the one who couldn't win anything. So I felt like when it's time to take a stab, Julie is not the one to get out, because that leaves both Liz and Austin going in the next HOH, and that's dangerous.
How does it feel today to have been such a Big Brother super fan and somebody who has really just, lived this show for so many years, to not only get to the house, but then go on to win? What does that feel like today?
I am feeling every emotion that there is to feel. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm super anxious because that house makes you paranoid beyond all belief. Seeing my family again at the end of the night was amazing. It's just been so many emotions. It's been absolutely everything.
And how was it to be reunited with your mom? I know you guys have a very close relationship.
Yeah, she apparently became a really overwhelming theme this summer. I didn't realize it until I got out of the house last night, but apparently she's come up a lot. Yeah, but it's great because she's been so supportive. I never would have even heard of the show if it wasn't for her. So it's definitely nice that I was able, it all came full circle, and I was able to, bring it home.
Let's talk about Vanessa's vote for Liz to win in the end. How surprising was that for you?
I was really shocked. I thought Vanessa would just vote for the person who played the better game, and she didn't. So yeah, I was surprised.
So for you, she said that Liz was the person that was most representative of the season. Did you feel like you had her vote when she said that?
I had no idea what that meant. Yeah. I don't know what it means to represent the season, so I can't comment.
Okay. So, Steve, talk to me about how did things go according to your plan? Did you have sort of a blueprint from a certain point of the game on, or were you sort of just figuring things out on the fly?
What kind of had to happen was once I got on Scamper Squad, I'm just going to stay at the bottom of the Scamper Squad, get rid of the goblins. When it's kind of down to just the Scamper Squad, I'll go back on Ostwind, and then we'll ride from there and hopefully get to the end with me, Vanessa, and Johnny Mac. Because, your ideal final three is when you're there with two allies who aren't aligned with each other. But then I was afraid that, oh, crap, if I do that final three, they're both so willing to stab me in the back, they're just going to take each other. I mean, it'd be so nice to go there with a Cody who'd be blindly loyal even to his own detriment, but I knew that Johnny Mac or North Vanessa was going to pull a Cody.
Johnny Mac called you the worst alliance partner ever. He called you a rat in the jury questioning speech. Why did Johnny Mac have less than kind words for you?
He said he called me a rat just because he thought it'd be a fun thing to do. He told me there was absolutely no basis behind that last night.
Okay.
And being a terrible alliance member, my answer to that is yes. My goal in any alliance is to contribute as little as possible and take as much as possible, so that way the blood's not on my hands. And when someone else in the when another alliance is in power, they're not coming after me; they're coming after the people who did the work. I'm a terrible alliance member. I agree wholeheartedly. I'm very intentional.
You're a self-interested player.
I don't give two craps about my alliances. I only care about my own performance. I'm only going to stay with an alliance for as long as it's good to me.
Steve, what was the biggest thing that being such a fan of the show could not have prepared you for going into the house this summer?
The fatigue stress. I think I accurately guessed what the paranoia and worry and everything else would be. I underestimated how it would get harder and more wearing as time went on. I mean, this last week in the house was just me and Vanessa and Liz. It's like, you always had to be careful. You always had to be with them because you could hear the two of them laughing in the bathroom and then get really quiet. It's like, oh, I got to go in the bathroom now. And it was, this last week especially was exhausting because you were so afraid to let the other two people be alone together.
Now, at times, it felt like that you also, like Vanessa, struggled with some of the emotional aspects of the game. It seemed like it really took a toll on you. But you're also somebody who is a gamer. Can you talk about what that's like to sort of know what you should be doing, but also be struggling with like the ethics or the emotions behind that?
I definitely kind of came into this thought I'd be a robot. I thought I would enjoy making the big moves, making the big blindsides, and like making these big backstabs. And I'll say, I didn't sleep the night before the finale. And it wasn't even because, I was nervous about the finale or nervous about the jury. I was nervous about having to blindside Vanessa because I really, in my gut, didn't want to do it. But when you're that final HOH, loyalties go up, everything goes out the door except for who, in which scenario are you more likely to win the game? Who can you beat with the jury? And it sucked, and I didn't want to do it. I didn't enjoy voting Vanessa out. It would have been much easier for me to vote Liz out, but I had to make the move that was best for my game, and that's what I did.
At the first double eviction, when you ended up putting up Meg and Jackie on the block, did you actually not want to win that HOH and you won it by accident?
That is completely true.
How did that happen? You were trying to get the questions wrong and you kept getting them right?
That happened, yes. The problem is I threw a lot of comps early on the season. People were figuring it out. Like when I threw the high maintenance veto, people figured out I threw it. And everyone was telling me I was doing so well at, everyone was telling me I was going to do so great at this HOA. So like, I can't throw it immediately. So I got to get a couple questions right and I'll throw it on a harder question. And every time, there were two or three times in the comp when a harder question came up, I said, okay, this is a believable question. I'm going to get out now. And I try to get it wrong. And I got it right. I think that happened, I believe, three different times where I tried to get a question wrong and I accidentally got it right.
So when you were at the final four HOH and it came down to the tiebreaker with you and Johnny Mac.
Yeah, I know.
And you said, oh my God, I forgot the zero. And we did the show that night and people were saying all over the place, oh, look at Steve. He's lying to everybody that he got the math wrong. He doesn't want people to think he's smart. But you said in the diary room that you really left the zero off. That was accurate?
Yeah, I just screwed up. I screwed it up big time. I wouldn't, it is absolutely never a good idea to for a Final Four HOH ever.
Yes.
I mean, I just did a terrible job and got lucky.
Look, I'd rather be lucky than good any day of the week.
Yeah, well, it worked out for me.
Now, in terms of that Final Four veto, there were some people that were saying that you intentionally didn't try to win the Final Four veto, and other people said that you were upset you didn't try harder to win it, or you didn't go all out to win it. Did you actually try to actively not win the Final Four veto?
That was a really all strange situation because everything went so fast. I actually went into the back of like, do I want this? Do I not want this? And I kind of made the decision sitting out there that I did not want the veto. So yes, I did actively want to lose that veto. I was afraid that in winning it, because if you have both that Final Four HOH and that Final Four veto, that's just asking people to not take you to Final Two if they win that Final HOH. And I just felt like, if I won both those comps, it would put me in a position where I had to win the Final Three HOH. And if you have to win, there's something wrong with your game. Because my fear was like, if I go to a Final Three with me, Vanessa, and Liz, I feel like Vanessa's harder to beat, but I think Liz, I would have a shot at getting Liz to take me, and I would have a shot at getting Vanessa to take me. If Vanessa had gone, it was a me, Liz, Johnny Mac Final Three, Liz would have taken Johnny Mac every day of the week. And from Johnny Mac's perspective, it's, hey, if I take Steve, there's 4 Scamper Squad votes going straight to Steve. But if I take Liz, there's 3 Scamper Squad votes and a Rockstar vote, so maybe I can pull out Steve's vote. So I was afraid that a me, Liz, Johnny Mac Final 3 would have meant I had to win Final 3 HOH. So it was kind of a lose-lose, which, no, I'm just convinced people to take me and not win this.
One of the things that Shelley had said during the Dr. Will segment was that Steve played up the fact that he was a socially awkward person in the house, but to some degree he was playing a character. Is that actually true? Did you play up certain parts of your personality to either be more endearing or have a different sort of impact on these people?
That's actually something I do in life, because something I struggle with is picking up those social cues that are kind of between the lines. And there have been so many times where like I do something that annoys someone or maybe isn't something that's okay to do, and someone will suggest it to me in a nonverbal way or a body language way, and I'll completely miss it. So I tell people, you just have to be blunt with me and tell me, because if you're not, I'm not going to pick up your cues, and I'm going to keep doing it. So that's actually something it's a strategy I picked up in life, is telling people this, so they know that they need to tell me something. They can't tell me so suddenly, they have to tell me bluntly, otherwise they won't get it.
And then you have that sort of evidence against them for down the road? Is that how you used it in the Big Brother house?
No, it was to make sure I wasn't upsetting people, because I was so afraid I'd be pulling a Jace where he was like, he had his bro tips in the beginning, and it was upsetting everyone so much, and they were sending him the little cues, and he never picked them up. And I was so afraid I was going to be doing something that would just annoy people, and I would never figure out I was annoying people, so I would keep doing it. So I just want to make people feel like they could tell me I was doing something annoying so I can nip it in the bud before it became a problem.
Okay.
And it was a strategy in making sure I wasn't shooting myself in the foot with my social game, as opposed to it wasn't so much strategy as just trying to convince people I wasn't a threat.
Early on in the game, it seemed like you did not really fit in with the other people in the house, and there were a lot of times where people were just leaving you alone. Was that an advantage for you in the game, or was that something that you had to overcome as you got to the middle portion of the game?
Well, I mean, I was in Scamper Squad from starting week 3 on, so that was a huge thing for me to have. But I definitely spent a lot of alone time. But the thing is, you don't have to, in early game, when there's a pool of 14 people hanging around, you don't need to be anyone's closest ally. You just need to not be anyone's target. And no one's going to be coming after you if you're alone and people see you as a weak player. I think Dan Giesling was totally right when he talked about being a weak player, don't be the threat. And that's very much something that was a part of Dan's game I emulated, in making sure that no one thought I was the player to get out like Vanessa was.
How much do you feel like Vanessa may have underestimated you? Because in fairness, Steve, I think I did too.
I definitely worked very hard to make her think I was a weak player. I definitely saw a little bit of, I'm sorry, I can't make these analogies, but I definitely saw a little bit of a Russell Hanson her.
Ooh.
Where it's like, the people she's going to get rid of are the people, because what Russell did is, anyone time that someone caught on to him, he got him out. And the people he went to the end of the game with, I'm just talking about Samoa, but the people he went to the end of the game with are the people that never figured him out. So I tried to play a game with Vanessa where I was the phony baloney, where I completely bought into everything she did. That's where the whole Stefan thing came from. That's why I started gelling my hair for the live shows. That's where the beard came from, because I wanted her to think I was her little doll and she can make me do whatever she wanted. And I think that was a huge part of why she kept me over Austin, is she knew I worked very hard to make her feel like she could control me, and she knew she couldn't control Austin because Austin was in a showman's.
Steve, over the course of the summer on the live feeds, you had said that this was it. You were never wanted to play Big Brother again.
No.
Are you leaving room open for you to go back on that?
No, I'm so happy I got this experience, because I know how many fans out there would give anything for this experience. I'm so grateful and thankful I had this experience. It means the world to me. But I don't have the emotional capacity to handle playing this game again.
All right. Hey, sometimes you get away from it and you might change your mind.
Maybe, you know the law of feeling tough. Right now I'm thinking no, but maybe I will change my mind. We'll see where life takes me.
Okay. Well, Steve, I'm so happy for you. Hopefully that you get the key to the city in Governor New York. And can't wait to hear more about it. Looking forward, hopefully we could talk more in the future.
Oh, I absolutely would love to talk more, yes.
All right.
And I'm a huge fan of yours, by the way.
Yeah, and Steve,
I'm sure you heard me talk about.
Yeah, I've heard things. I've heard things. Anyway, Steve, congratulations again, and enjoy that $500,000.
Will do. Thank you, Rob.
All right, take care, Steve. Bye.
You too. Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Steve Moses, again, congratulations to Steve. Once again, job well done. It is certainly a happy day in Governor New York, and I'm sure Steve's family is absolutely thrilled for Steve, and it's definitely a feel-good story to see somebody who loves the show so much go on the show and not only get there, but also make it to the end and win the game. So a really nice story for Steve Moses and the whole Moses family. So then also, before we get into our interview with Vanessa, we've been playing Big Brother Live Feed Bingo, and I said at the start of the season, the person that has the most squares at the end of the season, they are going to win the $250 second prize for Big Brother Live Feed Bingo. So if you think that you have enough squares, I hear some people tell me they have 17 bingo squares filled. If you think that you have in that neighborhood, you know, around 17 or higher, send me your card and we'll verify that. Send it to rob@robhasawebsite.com with a picture of your card, and I'll give me the information also so we can start looking that up. If you think you're in the 17 or higher ballpark for Big Brother Live Feed Bingo, rob@robhasawebsite.com. All right, let's get into it with Vanessa Russo. A lot of people felt like she was going to win, myself included, really thought down to the wire that this was her game to lose. Ultimately, it was her game to lose because she ends up coming in third, but she's here with us to talk about it. Vanessa, good morning. This is Rob Cesternino. How are you holding up after what was probably a very long summer?
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of emotions and I'm feeling all of them.
Yeah.
I came into the summer wanting the ultimate game challenge and wanting to really test myself in what was, to the best of my knowledge, the ultimate game out there. And Big Brother certainly delivered. It was challenging on every conceivable level. And, obviously I was hoping for a better result, but, being a poker player, I'm well trained in dealing with, that sometimes despite making the best decisions that you know how to make in the moment with the information you have, and despite having the odds on your side, sometimes things just don't work out. And, I did everything within my control to maximize my chances of winning. It didn't happen, but I'm trying to keep a positive perspective about it.
Well, let me just start off by asking you, you've been so successful in your professional poker career. Why the heck did you need this aggravation to go in and go play Big Brother this summer?
It's funny. I'm the kind of person, I love learning and I love new challenges. And for a while in poker, when I started my career, I was 23. So that's like almost a decade ago. And for a while, I was learning like 100 new things a day, and it managed to captivate my attention, and I was obsessed with it, for years. Then, you start learning less and less because there just is less to learn once you become more of an expert in it. And so then I kind of like jumped into music and had that challenge, and that captivated my interest for another few years. And, I was just ready for the next new challenge. And, for a while, I've been a big fan of like televised game show type formats, like Amazing Race, Survivor, Big Brother.
Me too.
I like all three formats. And, I just kept at it for the last few years. I had been following seasons of all three shows, and it just worked out timing wise this year, casting wise, and I went for it. I dove in head first.
Now, this season, for the most part, I really feel like was your story. You were so involved in just about every single thing that was going on over the course of the summer. And I think that it's fair to say that you're probably the player that's in the house that has the most skill in terms of the game. And I also think that you had the most experience in these high pressure situations. But at times it also seemed like you were most affected emotionally by the stress of the game. And I felt like that was sort of a contradiction because you have all this experience from the poker world. Was this stuff when you were getting so emotional in the house?
I totally feel you on that. You know what it is? So I've been getting this question a lot. And so the more I get it, the more I'm thinking about it. And I think it's a little bit of all of those things. It's on the one hand, yes, I am a strategist by trade. And I've been at this now for a long time, studying games and dealing with high pressure situations. And I do have that strongly logical side to my personality, but I'm also a very complex personality. I have a lot of layers and a lot of different sides to me. The people that know me the best, which actually now the whole Big Brother world really knows me. I have a whole nother side, which is a very emotional side. I'm deeply empathic. Relationships matter to me. People matter to me. I feel things deeply. And while in poker, you know, I can go home at the end of a really rough day and have my private moments to be emotional. This was on a very public platform. And, you know, I think people probably look, it's like, for me, I was actually laughing when people were asking me, because I was like, at the end of the day, I mean, I'm a human being. And like, of course I have emotions about it. I'm not a computer. You know, I know the best move to make, but it doesn't mean it was easy. You know, and yes, I know how to say the things I needed to say in certain spots, but it doesn't mean that seeing how it affected other people and their chances to win the game didn't affect me. Those things did very much affect me. And, you know, having a big heart doesn't necessarily negate being able to play logically. It just must have made for funny television. I can only imagine. I haven't watched it yet, obviously, but I'm getting the vibe that it definitely seemed like a contradiction. And but maybe I am a little bit of a contradiction, I guess.
Yeah, for us, for instance, like the first night that the live feeds came on, you were very emotional about that. You were very upset about Steve and the way people were treating Steve. And there was debate at the time over, wow, look at Vanessa go, because we knew that you were this poker player. And we said, she is playing everybody right off the bat. But we never got from you in terms of your diary room that you were playing the people. And obviously we saw you make these moves in the game, but we never heard from you, I am playing all these people by using this emotional manipulation. And it was unclear to us whether that was something you were actually doing.
No, the thing, especially with Steve, that was genuine. I very much related with Steve. Like in high school, I wasn't a cool kid. I was valedictorian. Like I was a nerd. And, you know, over the last 10 years of having a successful career, I've learned how to like make it work. And so those conversations were very real. I'm also someone who's had a breadth of experiences. I've packed a lot into my 32 years. So I found a way to connect with people despite our very varied backgrounds. And those conversations and connections, for me at least, were for the most part very genuine. And I used them as the foundation for building trust with people, which then was, I looked at trust like an asset towards my biggest tool in the game, which is making deals and negotiating and, you know, setting up trust related, whether it's an alliance or a final two or different sorts of understandings. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to trust. And I wasn't trying to be emotionally manipulative. I'm not going to deny that at the end of the day, there was some of that. But there was a lot of genuineness to, especially the things about Steve. And when the live feeds turned on, that was 100% real. That was not fake.
Okay, so let's go back to last night. So you had the opportunity to vote between Steve and Liz. You put your key in the box and you said you were voting for the player that you felt like was most representative of the season. And that turned out to be Liz. What did you mean by saying that Liz was the person that best represented the season?
who would best represent our season? What I meant was, like, as a spokesperson for our season, I didn't necessarily communicate it very well, but at the end of the day, okay, like, the brass tacks of it was that I had made a deal with Liz, that if either of us made jury, we would, vote for the other one. I needed to make that deal with her because, well, I was hoping that she would be the one in jury and I would be the one, you know, in the final two. I needed to lobby for votes because I knew that I was fighting an uphill battle when it came to jury. Now, when it turned out that, unfortunately, I was the one in jury, I upheld my end of the bargain. Beyond that, I also felt, I measured them both on different scales. Basically, I looked at it like this. Steve came into the game with a set of skills and a knowledge base about Big Brother that led me to have a certain expectation about his ability to perform. Relative to that expectation, he didn't perform as well as as Liz did. When you look at the expectation of her as someone who was basically recruited for being a twin, didn't know much about the game, I feel she far exceeded my expectation of what she should have, you know, what level she should have been playing on. She often surprised me. I feel like she was underestimated. And there was a little bit of, you know, I'm a big fan of a girl winning, you know, Big Brother, and she had been more loyal to me in the long run. And, you know, it was complex. It was a complex decision. Unfortunately, it wasn't a decision I had really planned on having to make.
Yeah. So let's just say hypothetically that deal was off the table. You didn't make the deal with Liz to vote for her in the end. Would you have voted for Steve?
It's close. I think they both played good games. But it's actually real close in my mind. I feel like there's arguments on both sides. I don't feel strongly either way.
Okay. Vanessa, what do you feel like was the best move that you made? Because there were a lot. There were so many over the course of the game. But what did you feel like when you look back at this, feel like that was the best move? And maybe it's one that we aren't even giving you enough credit for.
The single best move. As difficult as it was, probably evicting Austin. Because I feel like at that moment, that was an inflection point in the game where I either had the opportunity to go to Final Four with Austin, Johnny Mac, Liz, and myself, which essentially would have been setting up Austin to win the game because he had, over the course of that week, really tightened up his bond with Johnny Mac. And he was already close with me, and obviously he's in a showmance with Liz. And so he would be the person at the center of the foursome in terms of having closest relationships with the other three, as opposed to if I evict him, now I've got Liz's primary loyalty. I'll be going in with Steve and Johnny Mac. And although I know that they've been primarily loyal to each other, that's all out there already. And I felt like I actually had inroads to with Steve and Johnny Mac that neither of them knew about in terms of being able to work them individually. And so I felt that that was a better positioning of myself for Final Four than the Final Four where I'm basically giving the game to Austin. And as difficult as that was for me on a personal friendship level, it strategically, I really think it was up there in terms of moves that I'm proudest of. It's a really tough question. If you want to go all the way back, deciding to backdoor Jason also. I mean, Jason was at the center of the other side of the house. He was the brains of the operation. He was the person with the most knowledge of the Big Brother game. He was the person who was linking up two corners of the other side of the house. On the one hand, you had Jackie and Becky, and then on the other hand, you had Meg and James, and Jason was the link between that, which made it a very strong fivesome, which competed with Scamper Squad's fivesome. And so taking him out of the equation meant that we were that much stronger in having our numbers advantage. So that was another pretty strategic move.
Yeah, I agree. The Jason thing really changed the game. Really did. So how about your relationship with Austin now? He was so upset with you. He was so mad when you booted him out at the final five. Did you get a chance to talk to him last night?
I did. I talked to him. And, you know, I think we're going to be able to work it out. I mean, I think if he's being genuine with me, we will work it out. But I honestly, I'm floored at his reaction. Like I really am. As a super fan or a self-proclaimed super fan, You know, he's got a tattoo of Big Brother on his foot. Like, I really was expecting a more mature response. I'm actually shocked that he took it so personally. Like, Steve later told me if he had evicted me, I mean, if I had evicted him, he would have still voted for me. And if I hadn't had that deal with Liz, it was theoretically possible. If I thought Steve had played the better game, I was open to voting for him. I never would have taken it personally. I'm shocked that after all the conversations I had with Austin and such a strategist that he was capable of being, that he was so emotional and took it so personally. It was actually a compliment. It meant I thought he was the guy I was afraid to be next to in final two because he could win. And, if anything, on a game level, it's a compliment.
I have so many more questions for you, but we're running out of time. One last thing. Is there anything you could have said to Steve during the course of this time that you were the final three to change his mind, to get him to potentially take you to the end?
This is where I'm going to give Steve big kudos. I actually didn't know how highly Steve thought of my game. He did a very good job of hiding the fact that he was on to how strategic I was being.
Yeah.
He got me with that. And if I had been more aware of that, I would have made some mistakes on purpose. And I don't know, dumbed it down isn't really the right word, but like had countermeasures. Beyond that, what would have been my only play would have been potentially to make a deal to play for second. Maybe like been like, look, I know you're not going to take me, you know, for this and this and this reason. Here's what I can put on the table. You know, my word is good. I am flat out going to, I would have probably told him, my play would have been, here's my play. My play would have been to tell him about who I am in poker and say, look, no one's going to ever vote to keep me to win because if they already know that, you know, I've won millions of dollars, I certainly don't need the money. This is handing you the win. And that might have been able to work.
Yeah, that's cool. We had been talking about that over the course of the week over, which is that something that Vanessa should do? And we thought it was kind of a crazy theory, but it might just work. So that's funny that you mentioned that.
I thought of that. But no one has asked me that question yet. So I just thought of that right now.
Yeah.
But he did such a great job hiding the fact that he was threatened by being in a final two with me. He got me. And that he totally got me. In fact, if I'd known that he was doing such a good job with that, I would have been more stressed about my decision to vote for Liz. I can't wait to watch it and just see how much strategy was going on with Steve that I didn't know about. But I'm sure he played better than I knew. And kudos to him for that.
All right, I got to let you get to your next interview, but yes or no, Vanessa, would you play Big Brother again?
Definitely yes.
Definitely yes. Okay, Vanessa, thank you so much. Looking forward to hearing much more from you in the future. Best of luck and enjoy getting back to real life now.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care, Vanessa. Thanks a lot.
You too. Ciao.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Vanessa Russo, third place finisher. I did not think we'd be saying that about her, but there she is. And good to talk to Vanessa. Looking forward to hearing more from Vanessa in the future. And I'm sure that this is going to be a story that we follow because I felt like that Vanessa didn't really give Steve the credit there. She said it was going to go something that could have gone either way between Steve and Liz. And I don't think that's really the thing that most people feel as they're watching the show. And I've seen people still talking about that on Twitter. So I think that that's probably going to be the major story that we're going to be continuing to talk about here over the next couple of weeks with this Big Brother finale. Before we get to our conversation with Liz, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at LegalZoom. We saw that Steve and Vanessa go toe-to-toe, tip-top toes on the scales of Just Us. But you shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer just to charge you expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is complicated. So who are you going to go to protect your business and your family? Well, how about LegalZoom? Because they've made it easy for over a decade to provide a way for regular people to confidently navigate the LegalZoom. Now, they're not a law firm, and that's how they provide a great value because they're not charging you by the hour. Instead, you get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. So if you need help with incorporating LLCs, trademarks, last wills, and living trusts, LegalZoom is always a smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions if you need legal advice, and their network of independent attorneys can provide straightforward guidance that you need in most states. So don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today. Start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter Rob in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com. And let's go ahead and talk to somebody who is one of the twins that we saw all season long. It was the twin twist redux when Liz and Julia came into the Big Brother house, and Liz made it all the way to second place in the game, and she's joining us here now. Liz, how are you? How's it going? I'm Rob Cesternino. I'm a guy who talks about reality TV shows.
Hi, Steve talked a lot about you, so yes, I know exactly who you are.
Oh, wow, that's great. And not my twin brother?
No, not your twin brother.
Yeah. All right. Well, Liz, anyway, very, very excited to talk to you. Congratulations on getting this far to go to the final two. You really seemed like you were blown away to be going to the final two. And it seemed like that you were trying to figure out what you were going to say. Were you prepared for a final two against Vanessa? And it just really threw you off to be in a final two against Steve?
Yes. Okay. I think that is the correct way to put it. I was preparing for Vanessa, even though I was just so unsure. They both just took me for a loophole. I swear, I had no idea that Steve was going to take me. I almost thought Vanessa even threw it because she didn't want to like break my heart, and she thought that she could win over Steve. There were just like so many like things that were going through my head. So yes, I kind of just felt like, okay, I think that they made it really very clear to me that they were both going to take each other at one point. So I was not prepared, but I think I whipped something together to the best of my ability, and Steve really threw me off because they were just like, you know, you have two secure votes in jury. We don't want to take that gamble. So I just thought I was pretty much dead in the water, and I guess Steve took that chance with me because he thought he could beat me, and he was right. So congrats, little Stevie.
Was there anybody's vote that you were surprised that you didn't get?
That I didn't get to vote for me. Okay. I was, so obviously I knew Vanessa, Julia, and Austin were going to vote for me, duh. But I was surprised about Meg and James. They made it pretty clear that they weren't really big C fans. They kind of like, you know, called him a floater and this, that, and the other. So I thought that they were going to vote for me. So I was really shocked when they voted for him. But you know what? He played a good game, and he was definitely the Ian Terry of the season.
So the pivot that you ended up making from the point where Austin got voted out and it was Vanessa that sent Austin out of the house to then you ended up sort of like in lockstep with Vanessa the rest of the way. How hard was it for you to trust Vanessa after she just blindsided Austin?
Oh my gosh, I had to bite my tongue. It was so hard because her and Johnny Mac were both in on it, and I felt like I was completely just left in the dark. It took a lot for me to, you know, gain the trust back with her. I didn't really have anyone else after that, after Austin left. So I knew that even though I wanted to, you know, be mad at her, it was not good for my own game, because if I got mad about that, then no one would want me in the house anymore. So I did what I had to do to, you know, stay afloat in the Big Brother house. And at the end of the day, I know Vanessa played a very masterful game, as Zingbot said, but I think she really helped me out more than she hurt me. So I do have to commend her for that. Thanks, Vanessa.
What's the status of the relationship of Liz Tin right now out of the house? You guys were separated for a couple days. Is it like a reunited and it feels so good? Or is it like, this was not so bad being on my own for a couple days?
Well, it definitely feels good to take a little break. I need to see my family and have some sister time, but I'm ready to start back up with Austin. I missed him over the past couple of days, and, I'll probably see him tonight at Rachel's rap party. So that'll be really fun. And yeah, I can't wait to just like not have cameras all on us. And, it's going to be exciting to see Liz Tin.
Because there's a little bit of a transition from, okay, showmance to now real life. It's after the show. Are you guys officially a couple?
He did ask me to be his girlfriend. So I guess you could say, yes, we are officially a couple, but we haven't made plans yet, Miami or LA. I think LA would be fun. I was born and raised in Miami, grew up there. So I am definitely ready for a change.
Wow.
And I know he wants me to come out here. So we will see.
You're going to move in together?
No, not yet.
All right. And what about Julia? Is she coming too?
Okay, so the perfect plan is to get Julia out here so me and her could do our thing. And, you know, then we have Austin.
What's your thing? You said you guys are going to do your thing.
Well, I mean, I want to do something with her. We're both like very charismatic, so we would love to do maybe Rob has a podcast. No, I'm kidding. Maybe a podcast. anything really. We're 23, we're young. The door is a million doors could be open after this, and I'm ready to, you know, to break out.
All right. Well, maybe the Nolan sisters as co-hosts ongoing for Rob has a podcast.
Heck yeah. I see. That's what I see. I see like co-hosts, like hosting something. I would love that. So
I think it's great.
Twin takeover. We'll do the twin takeover.
Yeah. Get ready. Get ready. It's
yay.
Back.
Get ready for a takeover.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah. That was kind of a flop.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. Okay. So tell me about when you guys had the Dizzy Bowl competition and Vanessa told Julia to put up Austin for the next challenge, Austin for the next competition. Were you more mad at Vanessa or were you mad at Julia over that?
Oh my gosh. That was probably the most emotional day ever. I was so mad at Julia for listening to Vanessa. I thought she was going to go for Johnny Mac 1,000,000%. It only made sense. If she went for Johnny Mac, then he would be forced to go twice in a row and it would hinder his performance for sure. So I was so surprised that she just went for Austin right out of the gates. You know, I feel like she could have waited to hit him in the second round. And it was just, it was so sad to see how, you know, he beat her so quickly. I felt really, I don't want to say betrayed by Vanessa, but like what she was trying to say made sense, but not in that right order. I think Julia should have waited and, you know, listened to herself before she listened to Vanessa. Vanessa, she might have had the right intentions, or that's what she told us, but I really think that I was mad more a little bit at Julia than Vanessa, because Julia should have just listened to herself 100%. I would have listened to myself. I would have picked Johnny Mac for sure. So it's a double-edged sword.
So overall, now we're not in the final two. Tell me, was it more of an advantage or a disadvantage to have your twin in the house?
Oh my gosh. I have to say advantage. Where do I begin? She definitely kept my sanity in line. Being in that house for 98 days is intense. And so I was so lucky to have my sister there to vent to. I did a lot of venting. Sorry about that. And to just, you know, vent all my frustrations and, you know, just talk to her, and she was always there for me. We were always there for each other. So I think it was more of an advantage because I needed her there. And look, I mean, we got really far together. We got to day 85 together, which is absolutely absurd. So I don't think I would have had it any other way. And if I did it again, I would probably want her to come along with.
Can you talk about like what it was like between talking about going through this in the beginning where it's like, okay, we want you to be on Big Brother and we want you guys to be switching. And so, okay, Liz, you're going to be the person that's in the house. And then Julia, you're going to be the person who we're going to pretend that you're also Liz. You're not even going to be your own person, because I'm sure through your whole life, you guys are on equal footing throughout most things. And now all of a sudden, Julia, you don't have an identity. You're just also Liz.
I know. That was so hard because she practically, gave up her identity for me. You know, she had one of the hardest tasks that I feel like it was kind of taken for granted. No one knew how, you know, she didn't win a lot of competitions, but she played a heck of a social game and she had to pretend to be someone else, which was absolutely insane. I don't know how she did it. The house guests, obviously they were really good. They caught on to us quickly, but, I think it's all about the way we handled it. You know, we always had a good attitude and, Julia, she was a trooper. I'll tell you that. She definitely was a trooper. She sacrificed a lot for me. That's why when it came down to when we were on the block together, I was telling her, I want you to stay. You've already given up so much for me. And, it took a lot for me to like even fathom that she wanted me to stay over her. I was just so happy. And I know we're twins, but we're not catty at all. We love each other and we always just want the best for each other. So I love her.
All right. So when you guys are all reunited at the house with all the pre-jury and the post-jury people.
Mm-hmm.
And so was there any tension between Austin and Jeff? Because it got very heated over this love triangle that week that Jeff was going home.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I was like on edge to see them back together. But Jeff looked in good spirits. Him and Austin were like boys again. Jeff and Jace, the ones that were like arch enemies, were actually, I heard that they are now besties. So it's really funny to see how after the, you know, the house drama, people just unite. And I think that, yeah, Austin and Jeff got over that little tiff.
Okay, good, good.
Austin, Jeff didn't even try anything, so.
Because that was getting tense.
I know. I can't wait to watch it. Oh my gosh.
What do you feel like was the biggest move that you made in the game that you're not getting enough credit for?
Oh my God. I know. I feel like Austin did take a lot of credit, and the people try to say that Vanessa controlled me, but oh gosh, that is not the case. I think one of the biggest moves I made in the game was taking out really big competitive physical threats, which were Becky and James. But besides that, I just feel like I definitely aligned with the right people. You know, I was in Scamper Squad, which no one even had any idea about. I mean, they knew that we were working with Austin and Vanessa, but having Steve there was absolutely critical. He kept us safe in the double eviction with Jackie, and he took out Jackie instead of us. So I think having Steve was actually a secret weapon because no one knew how close we were, but it was also, you know, it was also not that much of a secret weapon because he broke up the twins. Come on, Steve, what the heck? But I don't blame him for that. I think that was very smart on his part because, we got very far. I don't know how we weren't broken up sooner.
Do you guys feel like you underestimated Steve at all?
I feel like I did. I really did. That's why I can't wait to watch the show because, he kind of, you know, in the beginning, he didn't really make big moves. He kind of like floated on by until it was about day, I want to say 57, where he just, you know, he got out Jackie and then he started winning HOHs. And so that's when we really saw the real Steve. So I think that it took him a while, but I think that was also part of his strategy. I think he wanted to, you know, not come off as a huge threat at first and then start, you know, showing who the real Steve is. So I think Steve played a really heck of a game.
Okay.
He was very sneaky.
All right. Well, Liz, it was a lot of fun to see the twin twist come back to Big Brother this season.
Thanks.
And I'm happy that you and Austin found love at the Big Brother house. I hope that everything works out at Christmas dinner at Nina's this year.
Oh my God, that's going to be very interesting, yes.
Okay. All right, all the best to you and Julia and Austin, and take
Thanks,
care,
Rob.
Okay? All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Liz. So getting a little sad now. Big Brother 17, for the most part, is over. I'm going to work on tracking down some more long-form interviews, maybe if you guys are looking for somebody. Hopefully we can get a hold of Johnny Mac at some point. Maybe you guys want to hear more from Steve, potentially Vanessa, whatever you guys are really looking for. I think that if there's enough of a movement on Twitter, again, with these things, when you tend to really ask these people on Twitter and they say they want to do it, well, you know, I'm here. This is my job to talk to these people. So I'm ready to go. Give me a day or two to catch my breath on this Big Brother 17, but would love to continue this conversation with you guys as much as you're interested in listening. So greatly appreciate all the support from you guys all summer long. If you'd like to do anything to say that you had a great time watching the show, the thing you could do is go on iTunes and rate Rob Has a Podcast, whatever you feel like we deserve. Go to robhaswebsite.com/iTunes. That's really important right now with the Survivor and Amazing Race season kicking off. It helps more and more people find the show when we get good ratings. So we do appreciate that. robhaswebsite.com/iTunes. And if you're not subscribed there, well, then that's a great time to do it. And you can also get Rob's podcast app at robhasawebsite.com/app. Thank you guys again so much. And thanks so much to the live feed correspondents and Scott St. Pierre, who posted so many of these Big Brother podcasts as the season went along. Looking forward to getting into Survivor mode. Going to talk with Jenna Lewis later on today and then answer your Survivor voicemails with Jessica Lee. So have a great Thursday, everybody. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.